But I kind of need to see your penis.
Yeah.
You're not just going to slip anything by me.
I know, right? You know,
I want to see what's going
on.
It's
not going anywhere. It's a checkpoint.
I'm not saying that I get out like a flashlight and, you know, glasses start going over it.
And what is it? The,
it's the eyepiece that people wear when they're playing at gems.
Yeah, right, right.
That's not what I do.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We've got some listener email with advice.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So Katie's going to kick off with some listener email, some advice on advice.
That's right. Advice on Advice is the segment wherein we find, or one of our listeners emails us with advice they find on the internet that stinks.
Yeah, it's unqualified, and we want to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice, hence hashtag advice on advice.
All right, so here is the email. It's from King of Hearts.
Oh, cool.
So thank you, King of Hearts.
Yeah, thank
you. Write it in with a link, and and I'll just jump right into
okay.
it. It's Ask Amy.
Okay. Always okay. good.
Dear Amy, my wife occasionally has to travel with her boss overnight to operate technology at meetings.
Excuse me? This sounds sketchy already. Honey, what are you going for? I have to operate technology?
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
She makes the travel arrangements. I noticed a couple of years ago that she booked one room with two beds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I asked her about it, she said it was for the purpose of cutting costs. She says this is the way he's able to give her a pay raise each year.
Hubba hubba. She got to earn that raise.
She claimed she would never cheat on me, nor would he cheat on his wife of 33 years.
Wow. Okay. So these are like mature people.
Yeah.
All right.
He is a frugal man, so I accepted that explanation.
Okay.
However, I recently came across an email that showed a room reservation for a single king-size bed.
Times are tight, dude. It's a recession.
It's one bed.
Those two beds were costing the company a lot of money.
When I asked her about it, she said it was the only room type available and that there's nothing going on between the two of them.
There's no other hotels anywhere in that town where you operate technology. That sounds like BS to me.
She said there's plenty of room for them to stay on their own side of the bed. Apparently, it wasn't the first time this happened.
Wow.
Should I accept her explanation? Your thoughts, Jay.
Whoa. This is a tough one.
This is not tough to me. The answer is no.
I mean, but you have to address, like, why this guy isn't immediately jumping to, like, the obvious conclusion that his wife is, you know,
is sleeping
playing
hide
the salami with the boss.
Right, right. Like, this is just like, do you believe me or do you believe my eyes?
That's what I'm saying.
Or your eyes.
Like, this guy, even if you say, you can't just say to this guy something simple, because he's obviously a fool.
Yeah.
You got to lay it out. All right. Well, so I want to see how Amy does, because come on.
33 years. Oh my God. Dear Jay, I hate to introduce another note of doubt into your relationship, but I cannot imagine this situation being benign.
Okay.
I suggest you find out what your wife really means by operating technology.
Yes. First of all, that's the first like tip off is that there's no one has ever said that ever.
She should be willing to give up her raise in order to book two rooms or get just a whole new job. If you're not going to get a raise, if you don't sleep in the same room with your boss.
Well, it's not sleeping in the same room.
Yeah.
The sleeping part.
Yeah.
Sleeping with your boss.
Yes.
It's like to serve man, right?
Oh my God, what's wrong with this husband?
I don't know. Like, this is, maybe he's really trusting. I can't accept that this is not, there's not like some serious sex going on.
Yeah, of course there is. Of course there is. And she's been doing this for years, and they're going on these trips for years, and she's operating technology.
But I bet she, that's not even her job. She's probably like, you know, VP of sales or something like
right.
that. You know, there's something else going
right,
on.
Right. She doesn't even know. She's like,
she's turning it on.
With technology, yeah. She's just like, I don't even know where the internet
is.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Is it plugged in? But the idea that he was like, well, they had two beds, and then I noticed that their reservation only had one. It's like, come on, dude, you're being cuckolded.
It just reminded me, though, it made me think of Operation Cubicle. Our other podcast friends.
Yes.
Operating technology.
Yes. Operating correctly.
Yes.
Technology. That's her job title.
This advice is the worst advice because it's two sentences or three sentences, really.
And it's not harsh enough. It's just saying you're a damn fool. You want to see what an idiot looks like? Go get a mirror.
What's your advice? I think it's not benign.
It's.
That's what I think.
I think it's not benign. I mean,
and you'd get better advice from sitting from a stranger on a plane that you're sitting next to.
Start packing your bags, or better yet, the next time that they go on one of these vacations, you get a room there and surprise her.
Yeah. Right.
Boom. I got two beds next door.
Is this the way it's supposed to be in the entire company? Could you imagine if, like, you know, 30 people in the company and everyone has to sleep in the same beds?
It's like the entire sales department is sleeping in one room.
Yeah.
We got two beds, we got a pull-out couch, and one guy's got a cot.
Gotta save costs.
I've never heard of that before. That's not even...
No.
I'm not saying it's illegal, but I can't imagine any company in which that... is okay as a policy.
No. I don't know
much about
policy.
Corporate America, but that sounds to me like, you know, it might be open for some exposure there legally. Yeah. If you're requiring people to share a bed. Like, you had two beds, you could make a case, mm-hmm. but now it's like we got to downsize.
To one bed.
To one bed.
Can I get my own room? No.
No. You got to sleep
company
in the same...
Company can't afford it.
You got to sleep in the same bed with me.
You want your raise?
Yeah, or not. This must be some raise.
God's sake. It blows my mind.
Poor guy.
Blows my mind.
Do you think he waited to get the thing back and he was like, oh, I see what you did there. Oh, well, who sent that one in again? King of Hearts?
King of Hearts. Thank you.
Oh, man. Thank you very much. What a mess. I don't know what's going on.
Go right to the guy's wife of 33 years. See what she thinks.
Yeah. Ask her about it.
She's like, good.
Yeah.
She's better her than me.
She's like, I booked the room. Gives me a break.
Yeah.
So speaking of looking for love, mm-hmm. this was something I found. Okay, this is from England, mm-hmm. where apparently things get more ratchet than they do here.
Really?
It says, looking for love on the dole, new dating site pairs up singles on benefits.
No.
Yes.
No.
So the backstory of this is, so it says benefits poster girl, some woman who goes by the name of White D. So I had to look that up. She's a white woman, uh-huh. and her name is Deirdre. And apparently she was a reality TV star about uh-huh. people who were on benefits. And this was like a really controversial program in the UK because it showed some people on benefits who were clearly taking advantage of the benefits, you know, in mm-hmm. the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it says a new dating website is seeking to pair up people on benefits. Benefitsbritain.com. It launched on Friday. And it says some guy, he's the king of computer matchmaking. And basically he's like, you know, there's a lot of people who are on benefits. And they're looking for love. And here we want to match them up.
So how much are you going to charge people on benefits? Like, who's...
Well, you know how much they're getting. You know how much money they're getting because they're getting benefits.
Yeah.
So I guess you can figure out from there. I didn't know if people could use their benefits to sign up for a dating site, but I know when I was unemployed, I wasn't looking to find someone else who was unemployed.
Right.
I was looking to find someone else with a damn job.
Right, yeah. Nobody with jobs are sneaking on that site trying to get it. Like, I can't wait to find someone who's unemployed.
It says there are currently 6 million people claiming benefits. Benefitsbritain.com is for them to meet and explore personal relationships with like-minded people. Either short...
Like-minded, like I...
I've fallen hard on my luck, have you?
Yeah.
With either short, medium, or long-term possibilities. So I guess there's like a hookup part for people who are on benefits but just want a little quick in and out. And then there are people who are looking for someone who's serious about benefits and is going to be on it for the long term. And is looking for
That's
a partner.
Right. Yeah, how long is your policy? Like, did you go from month to month or do you buy it like the year up front? Like, I'm seriously not employable.
Yeah, what happens if you get a job? Yeah. You have to get off the site.
Yeah.
So there's another guy on here. He's a brother whose nickname is Smoggy. He was also in the Benefits Street, which was the show that White D was on. And he's like, look, he thinks it's going to be used by the employed people and unemployed people as well. He said, no one is well off. Setting up a site for people on benefits isn't going to make much of a difference. Relationships are not about people's status.
And, you know, it's then, are people with jobs and money, people with like a power trip mentality.
Going on there.
They're
going
to go on there and fish around for people
who are on benefits.
Like, just be like, yeah, guess what? I got it. I got money.
But that usually...
Guess what you're going to do for me?
When you're looking for a partner, I don't know if like, are you on benefits? Is like one of the qualifications. There's nothing wrong with being on, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's not where I come from. I'm like, do you have health insurance?
Right.
No.
Right.
You want to find other, you know, so you need something else in common.
Do you want health insurance?
It says, so apparently it's up and running. And I guess this guy who started benefitsbritain.com is thinking, hey, You know, there's 6 million people on benefits. Some of them might be lonely, might be looking for other people on benefits. Yeah, they can combine benefits.
That's the common denominator in finding somebody. That's ridiculous.
What's the date like?
What about must love dogs? I mean, I thought that was.
Or there was one for farmers.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. These are
interests.
These are interests, but benefits ain't really an interest.
Yeah, it's like,
as far as I know.
Are there sites about, like, what kind of diseases you have? Like, everybody with...
Herpes.com. Yeah. There might be. If there aren't, I'm sure someone just heard that and is starting it right now.
Yeah.
They're like, millions of people have herpes.
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah.
This is not copyrighted.
Now it's not going to be a problem. You got herpes. She got herpes.
Fine.
Go for it. But yeah, so benefitsbritain.com. I have no idea. Like, if you're on benefits, you probably have a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is like just one more thing out there for you.
Yeah, not the greatest time to
jump
into a relationship.
No, that's not when maybe you're not looking for a relationship, exactly. When you're trying to get your shit together,
Figure
out what you want to do. And by the way, I don't know what benefits are like in England, but they're not all that great here. When I was collecting unemployment, I was keeping it small.
Right.
I could not, I mean, maybe I was trying to find someone to buy me a drink.
Yeah.
But I sure as hell was not going to buy a drink for someone else or myself.
No kidding.
So it should, this site should be... for people who are on benefits, and then for those who would like to help someone with benefits, you know, into a glass of wine, as it were.
Yeah, so the charitable people.
Yeah, someone who's nice, or the power trip people, I guess, too. All right, what do you have?
This is Barnyard News.
Oh, awesome. Yes. I have some Barnyard News as well.
Yeah, this one. I mean, what's a barn without a spider?
Nothing.
Anyway, nothing. Nothing at all.
It's a sham.
Yeah, but this is a particular spider. It's called a purring wolf spider.
Ooh.
Yes.
Did it jump?
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. The male wolf spiders use purring vibrations to serenade their sweethearts. But it only works if the wooing only works if the females can feel the vibrations.
When you said woo, I thought woo. Like woo.
No.
Girl. Crawl on over here.
Yeah, so this male wolf spider sends out a vibration.
Okay.
And they have to feel it. So the courting couple has to be...
It's like the 70s all the time for the wolf spider.
Yeah.
Girl, you feel my vibrations?
Yeah. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
But they have to stand on a suitable surface such that can vibrate.
Okay.
So you got to get the female to this dry leaf.
Okay. Are these things small?
I don't know how big they are.
So I'm assuming that, like, if you're close enough to feel the vibration, you could probably see this dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing. Yeah, vibrate, and I'll see if I like it or not.
Yeah, like, I see you over there, but I don't feel anything. So let me just wait. This dry leaf ain't shaking, you know what I'm saying?
They had, scientists knew that the wolf spiders could make airborne sounds that were audible to humans, but but spiders, they don't have ears. These spiders don't.
So were they saying other things to the scientists? they had some choice spider words.
They were just, the spiders are making sounds, but the scientists can hear them.
I have never in my life
heard
a spider.
Can't hear each other.
But have you ever heard a spider make a noise?
No, if I did, I'd run.
And I don't have a fear of spiders. I actually kind of like spiders.
Yeah.
Not as much as I like sharks, but I mean, you know, I'm still interested in them. But if I heard a spider make a noise, I'm out.
No kidding, right?
That might get me into believing in the paranormal.
No. Yeah, so this purring wolf spider, the sound it makes is not for the sound. It's just for the vibration, and that is what draws the female.
Now, does it make a movement to go at the sound? I'm really thinking like Saturday Night Fever. That's my idea.
I know, right? I was wondering. It doesn't say, but how...
Like, is he flashy? You know, does he have flair?
The spider rubs its legs together so the violins scrape across each other, and it creates the vibration that travel down the limb to the leaf.
Okay.
And the ladies...
this leaf that we've set up, this nightclub leaf.
Right.
That's what I'm imagining. It's like a bunch of guys, there's a bunch of spiders around the edge of the leaf, like, no, man, I'm not getting on there.
Yeah, it's funny you're saying this, because the research has found out about the wolf spider's vibrations in the 1970s.
That's when dudes started acting, they're like, we could rub things together, too, and probably get some vibrations going on the dance floor leaf.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine the female spider? That's not vibrating enough for me.
Yeah. It's like, what does he think he's doing?
Right.
He's just making it uncomfortable in the leaf. It's barely a vibration. It's more of a quiver. Or it was a shimmer.
Yeah, that's right. In another podcast, they were talking about shimmering.
Yes.
They meant shimmying.
I think they meant shimmying. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to, like, piggyback on your barnyard news now. That's okay. This is a small piece of barnyard news.
Mm-hmm.
missing, and this is news, it came on the Associated Press, missing pet tortoise found a couple of miles away in Pennsylvania.
What?
So it says...
Where does it originate? I'll let you tell the story.
But did you ever have, like, you know, a turtle or anything like that when you were a kid?
Sure.
So we would find them and we would put them, like, in, you know, a box or whatever. And if one of them died, our parents would just, like, replace them with another one. We couldn't tell the difference, right? So this is a pet tortoise that was...
That's a little racist against turtles.
Yes. They all look the same to me. They all look like... And they steal. All right. a pet tortoise that was either stolen or escaped. It says here from a backyard pen.
Gotta get it out of there.
I have never seen a turtle escape from anything.
It's like a little tiny harmonica.
Yes.
Looking out the...
It's like how dry I am.
The edge of the shoebox. Like, oh, no.
So it either was stolen or escaped from a backyard pen. Someone reported it. And they said they saw the animal because it was, and posted a picture of it on Facebook. So someone saw this thing. I'm guessing he's either on the run or on the lam.
How would they know?
They took a picture of it, not realizing it was the missing turtle, put it on Facebook. And then someone else was like, hey, that's our fucking turtle. So the police.
The police
initially investigated the tortoise's disappearance as theft. I cannot tell you how many times I've not been able to get a cop to investigate something.
Come on. So what kind of turtle was it? Was it a painter?
It just says a tortoise. The police initially invested it as a theft because the owner didn't believe the animal was capable of escaping.
He wouldn't leave me. He has a good hair.
The station reported on Monday.
Where else is he going to find someone like me to feed him lettuce and raw
apparently
meat?
On Facebook. They say it's still not clear how the turtle wound up where it was found, you know, miles away. So we have no idea. We have no idea what happened, if it was a theft, if it ran away. It's just interesting that the police investigated this. Either it was a really slow day or like they sent out a rookie and they were like, hey, John, we got a good case for you.
So a few miles away in Pennsylvania. So did it cross state lines? Was it in Jersey?
It started off in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, and it was found in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. So it didn't get very far. Basically, it was in Center County. Someone saw the animal, took a picture of it, put it on Facebook, and it was thus rescued or returned to its owner, who refuses to admit that the thing escaped. It was, you know, it was like if someone stole it, what would they do? Just pick it up, put it outside, and be like, well, that's it.
I could just see the owner now putting a little wig on it and combing the hair, saying, yes. Never leave me again.
It probably
pretty
has
baby.
A small chain on its little foot.
Yeah,
like that's it. So that's my barnyard.
That's nice.
News. So bizarre.
That's so strange.
So I wanted to say we should do this. Now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't forget. So people often ask us, where is the Hey You Know It studio? And we tell them it's actually at Funkadelic.
It's Funkadelic Studios, which is at the lip of Times Square.
Nestled at the lip of Times Square is Funkadelic Studios, 209 West 40th Street. It's on the fifth floor. Doesn't say Funkadelic outside, but you just gotta know.
You just gotta know. You gotta be in the know, and we're letting you know.
Yeah. They have all kinds of stuff going on. That you can rehearse here. You can record here. Obviously, you can record. They will repair your stuff. You can rent stuff. And you can store your gear, which we were just saying is important.
It's so important, especially in New York City.
It's hot as hell, and you have an upright base.
Yeah, right. Right. And you're going to walk around with that on the subway? Please, everyone, get your instruments out of the subway and into the studio.
And into the studio. If you want some more information about Funkadelic, you can check out funkadelicstudios.com. And we'll have a link, as always, in our show notes. Yay, Funkadelic.
All right,
what do you have?
Hey, before I go jam in Funkadelic Studios, I listen to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta and Katie.
Well, it's still summer, Jaquetta.
Yes, it is. It's summer in this room, actually.
It is so hot. Today is a humid, hot.
It's very humid.
And we're waiting for some kind of storm to land on us.
Something's going
to
happen. We both have afros right now. It's that hot. It's that humid.
It's true. I think there's a tornado that's supposed to be heading our way, too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it thinks it's going to do when it gets here.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Anyway, but still, it's hot, it's humid, but I still wanted to find some small ways to make this the happiest summer of your life.
Please tell me.
Oh, God. Okay, so here it is, summer, how to enjoy it. All right, number one, go slow.
Huh?
No, you can't tell us to do
what
that
do you
in
mean
New York.
Go slow? I'm still rushing around. I don't care. And I wear a sweater. when I do it. I do it all the time in the city. Yeah. When you live in the city long enough, you get to the point where you're like, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I want to wear jeans and a sweater. I don't care if it's 1,000 degrees outside. Yeah, right.
Because, you know, all you have to do is get from one place to the other. Yes. Once you're inside, it's freezing.
Yep. And on the mass transit, it's freezing. I don't know how the path is, but the subway is cold.
It's cold. But they say, go slow and you'll be, we have things to do.
Yeah, we can't go slow. You go slow.
You'll be less stressed and you'll enjoy all the smells. No.
Where do they live? In a paradise? In like a field, just like a field of like Glade plugins? They're just moseying along?
I don't know. If listeners, if you've been to New York, there's one thing you won't enjoy in the summer is the
stench.
That garbage. The restaurant garbage, too.
Restaurant garbage is where. And then there's always those, it hasn't rained in a week, and yet there's a puddle.
Yes.
Just sitting there with a slick on top of it.
And, of course, some people treat it like a public bathroom.
Yes.
So you got that,
It is also an open pissoir. Since we don't allow anyone to pee in New York City anymore.
Slow down a bit and use all your senses to tap into what's happening in this moment around you and inside you.
No. Ew. Okay. So yesterday I was on the subway and I'm 5 feet tall, everybody. So when I'm on the subway and everyone else is holding on to, mm-hmm. you know, whatever poles they need to hold on to, that puts most people's pits right in my face. Yeah. And I was assaulted yesterday. It was like a prism of pits everywhere I looked. I couldn't do anything. And I was trying to keep it together. And this business guy saw me and he just felt so bad because he saw that I was just surrounded by pits.
Cell block armpit.
Yes.
That's
it. It was like a big gothic dome of pits. Oh. It was awful. Anyway.
Okay. So here's number two. Say yes to the new. Go for something new.
To what? Oh, the new. Okay.
The new. Go for something new. Expand your comfort zone in a small way or a bigger one.
I'm already really uncomfortable because it's hot.
It's hot,
I'm moving quickly. I'm on a turtleneck because it's New York.
It says, go somewhere you haven't been before. You don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Take up a new hobby. Read a book or try eating something or doing something that isn't the regular thing that you would like to do.
Is this like specifically for summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is for summer.
I feel like the fall is a good time to start new stuff, no?
I think so, too. And it's like, why would you want to...
It's too hot now.
It's too hot
new.
To do so.
Is an ice cube mentioned in there? Like, is there any kind of a beverage?
No.
No?
No, okay. Not at all.
This
just hobbies and books and eating.
Books?
All right. Number three, say no to the shoulds of summer.
Okay. Yeah. Like you should.
I'm like, oh... The sneaky shoulds could make a vacation filled with things like you just have to do that before the summer's over seem like draining work and mm-hmm. leave you more tired than you were before.
Like what? No
like,
examples.
I should go for... Oh, I'm going to make it up. Okay. I should go horseback riding.
In the summer? No, you should not.
Right.
I'm here to tell you don't do that.
Right.
It's not good for you, not good for the horse.
No,
they're hot too.
I know. Nobody wants to run around
like
that.
No one's anyone in their back at 100 degrees.
Rock climbing. No.
No.
That's going to be too hot.
The rock itself is going to be too hot. Are you kidding?
So ask yourself, will this matter in 5 years or even in 5 months?
I don't know. That's a lot to ask. It is a lot to ask. It's very introspective.
Yeah.
What about the inside of me part? Is that still on there?
Right.
Check in with yourself inside.
Right. Number four, another way to make this the happiest summer of your life is just do nothing at all.
Yes.
Do nothing. Face the corner of your room.
Yes.
Rock back and forth, maybe.
Just lay on the floor in Savasana.
It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that all the time you have to be booked up for some activity.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way.
I don't think so.
I'm happy when I look at my little iCal and there's nothing on it.
You know what?
Except the day of the week.
I say, I'm going to do three things. Get three things done today that I have to do.
Okay. The first thing is making that list.
Yeah.
The second thing is coming up with something. And the last thing is completing that thing on the list. You're done. You do one thing and that's three things in my world.
Yeah.
I should have written this article.
It keeps time, you know, your time open and you still get things done.
Yeah.
One thing.
I like that.
I'm going to say humans are, however, not robots. And so that often leads to more stress and little of the recharging that could have been done to help your quality work.
People keep saying people aren't robots as if there's some kind of confusion. We've read several articles where they're like, people aren't robots. I'm like, that's true. You're right on that one.
So try to do nothing at all. Just go for a walk in the woods, sit by a lake or ocean, and take in your world.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, okay.
All right. All right.
You try to go for a walk in what you think are woods in New York City, and there's chock-a-block full of people, like, getting coffee and running around. It's not, you know.
And their sweaters.
Yes, with their sweaters
on. Summer sweaters. This is number five. Be the summer you want to see.
Are you kidding? Is it be the change you want to see? Is it ripping that off from that?
Don't wait for someone else to create the summer you want to have. Instead, get the ball rolling yourself. But that's doing things. That's not being the
but
summer.
But I can't afford the summer I want to have.
What's your summer that you want to have?
I want to have the summer where I'm like, I don't know, in San Moritz. Monaco seems nice. Those things probably aren't going to happen for me.
Yeah, so it's arrange a party or a picnic. I don't want to do that.
No.
Set up a movie night when the summer rain is pouring outside.
Mm-hmm. I'll meet you at the movie theater. Yeah, that's all I can do. Actually, going to the movies is one of my favorite things to do in the summer.
It is a nice thing to
do. It's just so nice. It's cold inside. Yeah. You know, you can bring a mixed beverage. Well,
right.
You can't.
Right.
But you can. You can have popcorn. Right. You get to sit in a darkened room.
There's all kinds of things. Movies. Yes. Yeah. To see.
I actually sometimes like to look at the audience a little bit to see how people are feeling about what's going on. I know it's weird, but I just like to glance back and see, like, what are people's reactions.
Yeah, or, like, find, like, the really dumb, like, the obvious laugh that somebody really tried to throw in the movie and see who laughs.
Yes.
And she's like, That's not working at all. Okay, be kind in small ways.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the summer do this.
Okay. I'm going to be kind in a really small way. You don't even know. It'll seem like I'm being a bitch. But it's just real small kindness.
So small.
Tiny kindness.
So small that it's bitchy.
Yes. It's minuscule.
Yeah.
Seems like a slight.
Savor the summer moments right here instead of being lost in the future or the past. I don't
know
about you.
What's wrong with these people?
Ask yourself what you could be grateful for. This isn't about summer.
No, this is just somebody trying to shove their, like, mindfulness crap down my throat. I protest.
This has nothing to do with summer. Number nine, just accept how you feel inside instead of pushing it away.
What? This is all over the place.
Like,
I hope there was some good advertising with this. Otherwise, there's no point for this at all.
It's like, give me some ways to enjoy the summer. It's like, go to therapy.
Yeah. Check in with yourself.
Yeah, right.
Be good to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Oh, spend more time doing what you love. Well, of course.
Yeah, everybody wants to do that.
Sorry, everyone.
If you can. Sorry, everybody. So I want to do some reality TV news. It's summertime, and I have an air conditioner and a big screen TV.
There you go.
So there I go. Every once in a while, I report on reality TV shows. I usually don't watch them.
That's right.
But I cannot help myself with watching these White People Living in the Woods shows. There's tons of them. Have you seen the History Channel was
and
all
they,
White People Living in the Woods.
They work out so hard before they go live in the woods.
Yes.
So they look good with their tank tops on.
Well, these guys don't. They found some guys that are just not even TV attractive.
Okay.
The show is called The Woodsman.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to believe this. It's about a bunch of white guys who live in the woods. Okay, fine.
Okay.
But they live up in the trees.
Oh.
They live in the trees.
Oh, that's sexy.
They build tree houses.
No, it's not.
So it says it gives viewers a look into a world they've never seen before. Hidden in the thick forests of the Pacific Northwest, a select group of men have sought the ultimate freedom. A life
in the tree, that's the ultimate freedom.
A life in the treetops.
I think swinging through the air is the ultimate freedom.
Far removed from the trappings of modernity. They live in primitive structures built with their own bare hands. First of all, I saw the tree houses.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are all master carpenters. I don't know what
they're
talking about. These are not regular old, like, raggedy people living in the woods. If these
with
guys,
a trap door, and you have to climb up the ladder like
One guy ascends the tree by, he's hooked up like a 10-speed bike to some kind of cables. And he rides up the air.
Oh, that's nice.
It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Unfortunately, you know, as good as they are with a hammer and a nail,
mm-hmm.
it seems like dental care is an issue for these guys.
Well,
because
it would be.
One of the guys had four teeth, one on the top, and those teeth were not getting resistance when he shut his mouth. I'll just put it that way.
Oh.
So it says, for these men living in the trees, it's the American dream. It's five guys, Mike, Steve, Ethan, Aza, and Jay. And Aza and Jay, to me, look like a very happy couple.
Okay.
I'll just put it that way.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But they develop tree structures and they build essentials for living off the grid. So I was watching this show, and first of all, they're dressing like Daniel Boone.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Well, they have to costume for the part, because if they put on, a suit.
A regular clothing, they're not going to get it. And then the other thing was this one guy, he was like, they're filming the show, he's like happy as Larry, whatever, Larry in the woods. And then they hear that somebody...
I'm Woods Larry.
Someone is stealing trees off of this guy's land. Like, these guys are in the middle of nowhere. He's only got a couple of acres. It's like, come on. Stealing trees with this guy. Like, that's all he has is trees. So the guy goes out there, and he's like, I'm going to take care of this. Fires off a gun that looked like it was from 1775.
Oh.
He was, like, tamping it down.
Oh, my God.
It looked like a mini musket loader.
Yes. This like blast came out the side.
Exactly. It was like gun. He had showed gunpowder. Yeah. He was also making like, you know, traps and stuff to like ward people off of his land. It was really very interesting.
A trap?
Yeah, a trap.
Could you imagine you go and somebody traipse across somebody's yard and fall in a trap?
You know what? There's no way you could tell it's someone's yard because it just looks like the damn woods.
Yeah.
So these five guys are out there. They're living up in trees. And this is a reality show. And then there's another one that comes on after called Alone. And it's 10 white dudes in the woods alone. And they film them. The winner, whoever lasts the longest, gets $500,000.
But
one dude left after day two. Because there were bears. They showed bears coming around
his tent.
Do they have
anything to... What supplies are they given? What are they supposed to do?
I just think they have good old American gumption. And like something to start a fire with.
And that's
I didn't see the opening of the show.
It's super survival.
It's like super survival, except that, you know, in my mind, okay, so the treetop guys are interesting because they mm-hmm. built all this shit. And I'm like, yo, Native Americans just moved around. Like, why don't you just keep it,
you know they're onto
natural.
Something in the tree because you ever watched the old Tarzan movies where he mm-hmm. had his home?
Yeah.
His apartment.
That's
there.
True, his apartment. Shay Tarzan.
Well, in the first movie, though, he had, like, this really crappy, just awful-looking tree fort.
Is that before he got a lady?
Yeah, and then he got the lady, and it was, like, suddenly in the next movie, when he got Jane up there, it's, like,
a total... There's a hairdryer.
Like, yeah.
There's one guy
There's a great room. A bonus room.
There's a shoe closet.
The media room.
There's one guy in the show who his wife refuses to go in the treehouse.
Yeah.
They have like a, like kind of a nice, like an A-frame or something, you know, like rustic.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed him and he's like, yeah, I'm going to try to make this treehouse nice for my wife and blah, 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 whatever. And you see the wife helping him pack to go off the treehouse and you're looking at the wife and she looks okay.
Yeah.
But then it knows her nails are nice. She's wearing makeup. I'm like, dude, why are you going out the front of this shack? Like, she looked a little hot to trot. I mean, they're
okay.
An older couple, but hey.
When she's ready.
She's, still,
she's
yeah.
like, the, you know what?
Her husband is going away for 3 months to live in a tree. If you're not taking care of your woods lady,
yeah,
somebody else will.
That's right.
Somebody else will. I don't care how remote you are.
Yeah, we just have separate interests. Go ahead.
Yes. This woman is never going to go to that treehouse. He's
no,
never going to be able to make it nice
see her
enough
again.
For her. To these guys' credit, like I said, they are master carpenters, and I would definitely be interested in, like, staying in the treehouse for a little
long?
While.
How long would you stay in a treehouse?
Like, two nights.
Okay.
Maybe. I like camping outside. I'm a little leery about the fact that, like, you know, what if I have to get up in the middle of the night? I forget I'm in a treehouse.
Oh, right. And off the side you go.
Yeah. Or, you know, what if I have a few drinks or some wood wine or something?
They should have, like, nets around the perimeter of the tree for people like you and me.
Yes.
Who would do that?
We'll wake up in the morning and find podcasters stuck in the nets underneath of your treehouse. Like, how'd they get here?
The bears are swatting at us
yes.
from underneath. Like, oh, no.
So, anyway, the woodsman. If you have a chance... it's just interesting. Have it on the background. I was knitting, so
okay.
It was good.
All right.
It was good
all
for
right,
that. Right. Knit one, pearl two. Woodsman. Good
nice.
Luck to them.
Good luck.
I want to see if the two guys, Mike and Asa, come out. That's all I'm interested in. Like they have ultimate freedom out there.
Right.
You know.
It's almost like yeah, Brokeback
Mountain. Yes, exactly.
Mountain
but
woods.
Up in the trees.
Yeah.
Brokeback Tree Mountain.
Brokeback Forest.
Brokeback
there
Forest.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's the place where the trees are.
Yes.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, what do you have?
Tales from the Campfire.
Ooh, so Tales from the Campfire, my favorite segment, is where we take tales of the paranormal from the internet, ghost stories, fake lore, folklore,
myth,
urban legends, all that, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So,
gather around, listeners.
That's right.
All right. This is one is called Telly Savalas and the Good Samaritan.
Are you kidding?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so listeners, Telly Savalas was an actor in the 50s who played the very popular detective or police officer, Kojak.
Okay.
Whatever.
I was going to let you just suffer on that one. I'm sorry. Because I thought maybe you were going to say something else. Because Kojak is in like the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kojak was in the 70s, but he had a ghostly encounter in 1959.
Oh, really? Okay, I want to hear about it. I like Telly Savalas. He's bald.
He's bald, and he was bald? He had the catchphrase, before catchphrases were overused, which was, who loves you, baby?
Oh, that's right. And he used to suck on, like, a dum-dum or something?
Yeah, he did a dum-dum lollipop.
That's awesome.
And he was bald, and he was like, who loves you, baby? And he stuck the lollipop in his mouth.
He was a sexy Greek man.
That's right. Okay. Coming home to Long Island after a date at 2 in the morning. See? He was sexy.
Yes.
Savalas ran out of gas. Come on. He started walking around the freeway when a high-pitched, eerie voice sounded behind him from the road saying,
who loves you, baby?
Saying, I'll give you a ride. That wasn't very
eerie. That wasn't very eerie.
Or high-pitched either. Okay. Savalas hadn't heard the car drive up, but he accepted the ride. He just was like, fine, I didn't hear you sneaking up on me.
So he's saying that he ran out of gas and that's why he was stumbling down the road?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Yeah.
After a date.
Yeah, he was just walking. It's like, I'll just walk. He didn't even want any help.
That's right, because this is before phones.
Right.
That's what you used to have to do. You just have to either wait in your car or, you know, get on your feet.
Yeah, so he didn't even hear the car drive up behind him, but somebody was like, I'll give you a ride. And so he accepted the ride, and the man wore a white suit and was driving a Cadillac. Come on, you can't hear the Cadillac coming up.
He was wearing a white suit? I don't know if I'd get into that. I'm imagining that guy, Colonel Sanders, or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to be caught and taken back to the South, and I don't want that. Okay,
It was just on Long Island.
Okay.
It's okay. Way to go. When they arrived at the gas station, the man offered to pay for the gas. Even though
was it Truman Capote?
Right.
In 1959.
Right. Even though Savalas hadn't said anything about not having any money with him.
Wow.
So, wait a minute. Telly Savalas, no money, gets in the car. Like, I need gas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did you hear something?
I heard something.
Tales from Their Campfire?
I heard something like...
The Haunted Studio? Maybe it's a wolf spider.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Okay, so he accepted the generous offer, getting the man's name and address so he could send the money to him the next day. Then the man drove him back to his car. On the way there, he told Savalas that he knew a Red Sox baseball player and even gave him the name.
Okay.
Guess what, Mr. Savalas?
Yeah. It's like, I know a baseball player. Not only do I pick up celebrities off the side of the road.
Yeah, well, you know, listeners, Jaquetta just looked at me, like, gave me some side eye, like, what? Apparently, that was Telly Savalas' reaction, too,
because
perplexed, he just nodded. The man helped fill the car with gas, and then the man pushed the car to get it started.
What kind of car was this? Wow.
While Savalas...
Did he have a crank in the front?
Savalas sat behind the wheel. The next day, the newspaper headlines reported that Red Sox player had been found dead the previous night.
What?
Savalas discovered the man had also written down his phone number, so he called it and talked with a woman who became very upset when he asked for the man. She told him that her husband had been dead for 2 years. Savalas later...
Surprise!
Savalas, not letting it go, of course, called her again, and the woman verified the clothes that the Samaritan wore were her husband's burial clothes.
That's creepy.
His signature on the paper matched her husband's handwriting. The only thing that didn't match was his high-pitched voice, since he had a deep voice.
I mean, I'm guessing at this one, he was only dead to you.
Yeah.
Right. This is 1959. It's easier to get away with stuff back then.
Right.
You could get... I remember when I was growing up, people being like, yeah, I got a license in Delaware. I got one in Maryland.
Right. You could be anyone.
Yeah. You used to be able to take someone else's driver's license test for them, because the driver's license didn't have pictures on them. I could be Katie Kazmir.
You could. While talking further, Savalas discovered that the man had committed suicide by shooting himself in the throat and had destroyed his larynx. Therefore, his voice was all jacked.
Oh, like, not only did he destroy his larynx, do you know what I mean? Like, he killed himself.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
That's why his ghost voice
high. Let Even that though, be a word to the wise.
Right, right.
If you don't want to sound like a small girl in the afterlife. Yeah. That's creepy.
Just to point it up towards her.
So he related this story to just whoever would listen to it.
Right, basically,
And then it ends up here.
Yeah.
On Tales from Dirk.
So thank you, Telly Savalas.
Yeah, that's an excellent one. So now, I got to go right into some hashtag penis news.
Of course.
Dick updates, member on the move, scrotum stories, and anything else I can come up with. Mm-hmm. So this is actually something that's all over the internet right now. I pulled this like a month ago
because,
you know, people coming for the news.
Right.
It's I have no penis. I've slept with over 100 women. Have you heard about this guy? He's got no penis.
What?
He's got no penis.
I haven't. I just wait for you to tell me this.
It comes from England once again. Right. You know, Masterpiece Theater was the way I used to think of England. Now, forget it.
No.
A British man born without a penis says he slept with more than 100 women while somehow managing to keep the truth about his anatomy secret from most of them.
How could he do that?
Because some women don't care. I'm imagining he has a repertoire. He's taking care of...
Of everything.
Everything.
So you're not even looking for...
Not even looking for it.
Or he could be doing the whole, girls don't cry or boys don't cry thing. Where he has
With 100
sure, if you're good at what you do, then you can just kind of get that piece and slip it in.
I mean, not to be graphic, but I kind of need to see your penis.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah
you're not just gonna slip anything by me.
I know, right? You know,
I want to see what's going
it's
on.
It's not going anywhere. It's a checkpoint.
I'm not saying that I get out like a flashlight and, you know, glasses start going over it.
And what is it? The
yes, the eyepiece that people wear when they're playing at Gems.
Yeah, right.
That's not what I do. So it's this guy, and he said his name is, he suffers from an extremely rare birth condition called bladder extrophy, which caused the organ to grow outside of his body. So they were not able to fix his bladder, but he never developed a reproductive organ.
Okay.
And he's the subject of an upcoming one-hour documentary on Discovery Life Channel, but I heard that he didn't like them, and so he went over to TLC.
Okay.
He's
discerning.
He told about, and he only has one chance. Uh-huh. He told about 20% of the women the truth. It was difficult to explain to a new girlfriend. Once I was punched in the face when I told a girl. Wow! Oh.
They probably, you know, had sex, and she thought, she was bamboozled.
I guess she felt I had lied.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, dude. Like, I feel like most women are probably expecting, when they're dating a man, that a penis is going to come into play.
Yeah.
At some point.
That's part of the fun of the whole
thing. Yes, I mean, if nothing else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, documentary follows him through medical procedures to have a fully functioning organ. So, I guess he's going to get a penis put on. And then the man with no penis is the name of the... It sounds like a James Bond. The man with no penis. It says it's going to be on Discovery Life Channel, but I think he sold it to actually someone else. I don't dispute the fact... I think if he probably just told everyone up front he didn't have a penis, some people might be relieved. And some people might be like, what else you got?
Right.
What else do you have going on?
We can work with this. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, the man with no penis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sold his story. All right. What do you have?
Robot news.
Okay. Well, so, Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse, and it actually already started in Korea.
Yes.
When that Roomba ate that woman's hair.
Oh, right. So, it's happening. And as always, we like to report on DARPA.
Yeah. Oh,
which
wow.
Which is our government's branch that... Not branch, really.
It's the secret robot arsenal
right.
of the military.
And they're constantly developing these
killer robots.
Killer robots.
Oh, I'm sorry. Robots to help the elderly.
Yes, the robots are
rescue people.
Search and rescue to help the elderly and for surgery.
Yeah, and to colonize Mars, yeah.
Right. But they all end up really just...
Looking like Terminator.
And the people have sex with them.
Yeah, people have sex with them.
That's where it's going to be. Anyway, so DARPA every
Sponsored
year.
Sponsored by DARPA.
They began this robotics challenge.
They did it again?
Yeah, they started it in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Probably after listening to us.
Yeah.
And they, it's a competition to build human-controlled robots that may be used to perform challenging tasks that are dangerous for humans.
Okay.
So that's really mean. First of all, I'm controlling you. You go do that.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of them, because in the past, some of the robots have not been able to do anything. Some of them just get there and sit down. And then the roboticists have to go home with their heads, you know.
And it's kind of like, well, that's a reflection of me and what I would do in this situation.
Yes.
Just sit down.
Wait, defuse the bomb. I don't think so.
Yeah. We're trying to make robots and human beings work together.
Make is the operative term there.
Yes. Robots are very good at working in dangerous environments, while humans are very good at making judgment calls. No.
I think they should stop saying robots are very good at stuff. They should always be like, these robots are programmed to do something. I don't say, that fan is really good at generating some cool air.
Yeah.
That's what a fan does.
Yeah.
Stop humanizing robots.
Yeah.
DARPA.
Let's see. So the robots must have a battery or onboard power source.
Okay.
That's another thing that they have to have, like, on them. And then they say,
and that's the thing that we're going to be taking off. Yeah. During the robot revolution. Right. You're like, it is battery packed.
Remember that, listeners. Yeah. This is our secret to you.
They have a battery.
Usually community.
Now you know. The secret's out. This is the last podcast you'll ever hear from us. Spread the word.
If I built a robot, I probably would have a cord, an extension
cord. Me too.
Cord.
I was just thinking the same thing. Just pull the cord out.
Yeah.
Don't let that thing get far.
Only has to walk around my apartment.
Yes.
Search and rescue in my apartment.
You're going to find me in the kitchen.
Yeah. Usually communications get very poor during disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Both because the infrastructure becomes degraded and because emergency responders are trying to use it at the same time.
Okay.
So they have, to mimic this scenario, the competition's organizers will intentionally degrade the communication links between the robots and their human controllers.
And then the robots go wild. What if their robots are like, dude, they're not paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
F it.
Yeah.
Leg it. Get out of here.
Kill them all.
Yes, kill them all.
Yeah.
Did they just say kill them all? No. We didn't say that.
Not at all.
Not at all.
A lot of teams are doing good work.
And some are doing really bad work.
But he made it clear that none of the robots were thinking for themselves.
They're never going to think for themselves.
They're not going to. But did you see the video montage of the DARPA challenges of this summer? What if
no.
The failures? They did a whole montage of the
is that the blooper roll
of
DARPA?
God, so funny. The robots walk into a wall, fall down backwards. Suddenly the knees just collapse and they fall down backwards.
Oh, no! We're still there. We're still at that level of robotics.
Yeah, it tries to get out of the car, falls over.
I just want to say, I think it's great that they're trying to get all this stuff together, but I was doing some scanning today, and the printer still gets jammed with paper.
Yeah.
Work on that.
Yeah.
Work on that.
That happened to me, too, today.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's 2015.
Yeah.
You're worried about, like, getting a robot out of a clown car? I want to be able to scan something and go home.
Yeah. During this year's competition, each robot will have 1 hour to complete the course.
Some robots sweating silicon off their foreheads. Like, oh, do you guys have to look at me while I do this? This is nerve-wracking. There's, like, a female robot there. They're like, oh, man.
First, the bots must drive a vehicle into a simulated disaster zone and walk about 30 feet over a field of obstacles and debris.
Okay.
Then the robots must rotate a circular valve, hook up some wires, and cut a hole through a wall, climb up some stairs, and exit a building.
Is that what's going to happen?
That's
a disaster?
Yeah. Those are all the things
that
happen.
It.
There will also be a surprise task. They have to have sex with somebody.
Yeah, probably. They have to find the person.
And the teams won't be prepared in advance, so it's just like you put a couple of these.
I hope it's going to be like mix a great martini at the end when you get there.
Yeah.
That'll be the task.
Do a foot rub.
Yeah, or give
on this
you
lady.
Know, give this woman who has an uneven dye job balayage. That'll be the that will be the you know the challenge at the end.
Like, how about cocktail parties, small talk?
Yeah,
that's what you need.
Engage an African American in an elevator and small talk successfully.
Yeah. Go.
Surprise. Go. The robot just falls apart. The knees explode. It falls down.
Oh my God. That's basically what's going on. So we're just bringing you the updates.
Someone was
people because they're coming.
So this is something I saw from a guy who is one of my Twitter followers, and I follow him. Not on the Hey You Know It, but on the regular.
On the regular Jaquetta. What's your Twitter handle for people?
Yeah, at Jaquetta. I was the first person to get it, apparently. The other Jaquettas have, like, something else on their name.
Uh-huh.
I beat them to it.
Ha-ha.
But I thought this was interesting, and it falls under alcoholic news or beer news. Iowa Supreme Court affirms your right to be drunk on your front porch. I didn't know it was under attack.
Wasn't under attack.
Apparently,
taking my freedom.
Iowa Supreme Court has affirmed people have a right to be drunk on their porch. The court ruled in the case of a woman called Patience Pay. It's so funny whenever I read articles and there's some criminality to it. There's a lot of like alliteration and affluence sometimes. Patience Pay. She appealed a 2013 public intoxication conviction. So apparently, Patience Pay and her man got to fighting on the front porch. She assaulted him. He called the police, and when they showed up, she was also drunk, and they charged her with a DV assault, and they charged her with public drunkenness. And she's saying, "Yes, I did assault my boyfriend.
However,
it's my right to be drunk on my porch."
That's right.
They said that she was in public. And then the Iowa Supreme Court ruled that that's not public. Just because you're outside
doesn't mean you're
in public.
That's really because you pay for that space.
Exactly.
And
nobody's
supposed to be on it.
If you can't get drunk on your porch.
It's your, nobody should be on it.
Yeah.
So it's not public.
It's not public at all. So basically they said that, you know, there are many criminal offenses on the books that make up certain types of behavior on public property a crime merely because the act was committed in public property, but this is not public. This is private property. So I will say the name of the author, though, because it's outside the Beltway, and it's from Doug Mataconis, or Mataconis, if I pronounce that incorrectly. So I thought this was an excellent article. Just everyone needs to know that you can get drunk on your porch and in your backyard.
This is America.
But don't assault your boyfriend.
That's not so good.
Yeah, that's not good. I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
They should know better than that.
Super weird.
That's what a porch is for. That's like 3/5 of what a porch is for.
And it's the best part of the house.
Yeah. For drunkenness. Right. All right, what do you have?
I have here about Casual Fridays.
Oh, Lord.
News on Casual Fridays.
It's funny. Do you remember when they first came out? Dockers were a big thing.
But, you know, business suits are not the big thing anymore. A lot of places have a very flexible dress code, right?
I agree. The only, like, my husband, Greg, who's an attorney, and he, all of his colleagues, they wear suits all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who work in the financial industry wear suits. But I feel like...
in other businesses, it's kind of fallen away.
It's fallen away. Well, I think for a lot of reasons. First of all, suits are really expensive. And if you're not getting paid a huge amount of money, you know, why should you be wearing a really expensive suit and having it dry clean?
I get so angry when I see people working at department stores having to dress to the nines.
Why?
I'm like, they're not getting paid enough to do that.
Unless they're giving them some kind of a wardrobe, like, stipend.
Yeah.
Come on. You're spraying Calvin Klein perfume on me. I don't want you wasting your money at the dry cleaners.
Just dressed like normally. Nobody's business.
Yeah. How about just a name tag?
Yeah, that's all.
You know, and you're and all
just
black.
All black and just pressed. Make sure you're pressed.
Because we're in New York, we've mandated all black.
Right.
You will wear black.
All right. But Casual Fridays is, you know, you wear this like...
Dockers.
Yeah.
What do women wear on Casual Friday?
Just something smart.
No bra.
Yeah, right.
I wear strapless on Casual Fridays. I don't care. Let them hang.
Right.
Casual.
It says here that this article says, I used to work with a guy who refused to let his standards drop just because it was nearly the weekend.
Okay.
Instead of Casual Friday, he tried to institute its opposite, Fancy Friday.
I kind of like fancy. Like, Fancy Friday, I'm coming in like a prom dress. That's my idea of fancy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to wear a hat.
I kind of dress up on Fridays because all my... my clothes are done.
Everything's dirty by then.
And so I'm like, oh, I've got this dress.
I used to have those days when you come in and you really formal. And people are like, where are you going? I'm like, to the laundromat later on.
Right.
That's where I'm going. Come on. You know?
But then this, there was a study done. And it turns out scientists argue they're in favor of dressing up, finding that people felt more formally dressed as compared to their surrounding peers. They tended to be more creative. So when you're dressed up...
That's interesting.
You're kind of, like, setting yourself up to be more creative.
Be more creative. I feel like...
I thought maybe be more productive and be more professional.
I mean, I become more flamboyant.
when you're dressed up.
I mean, I guess, does that fall under creativity, I guess?
So. They're more likely to think of themselves as competent and rational.
Mm-hmm.
It's this self-perception that they have. So I guess if you are in a creative industry, then you're like, I've got a great idea because I'm dressed nice.
Yeah. Had I not been wearing this hat at a jaunty angle, I wouldn't have come up with this amazing marketing campaign. Right. I don't know. I feel like there's not a lot of room in a lot of corporate environments to dress fancy.
Yeah.
Like, you're just supposed to dress like everyone else. Whenever I go into an office space, I look around and everybody's wearing the same thing.
Right.
Navy blue, you know, kind of conservative looking. I don't know. Maybe they should have, like, Flashy Fridays. Come in and wear, like, your craziest, flashiest stuff.
Right.
You know? To me, that leads to drinking early, though. The fancier dressed I am, the more I'm thirsty for
something
drinking.
And you want to go, right, and you want to go out and show your outfit to other people.
If I'm wearing, something fancy, I need to get drunk, I feel like.
Yeah. They found people who felt more formally dressed than people around them are more likely to think abstractly.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, they mean holistic or big picture thinking. Not so focused on the details, but seeing bigger ideas. Seeing things, how things connect.
I hope businesses don't read this because they're going to be mandating. It's like, we're having a meeting on Tuesday. I need everybody to come in here fancy.
Oh.
And I mean fancy.
Yeah. You're right. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that I've heard other people say that they feel better and more productive and they do better work when they're dressed up.
That's I feel like that's a personal thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people are more creative when they're, like, dressed down and they're quote unquote comfortable. You know what right. I mean? They feel more casual and more relaxed.
Well, I'm like t-shirt and jeans or yoga pants or something like that is fine. But if you're in your jammies. Or some, like, slob outfit.
If you're wearing a one piece, if something gets zips up and has a trap in the back, no.
No.
That's too comfortable for me.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks. Someone was telling me that Google has been testing the driverless car, and one of the ways that they do it is they have people hide in a bag in the road, and then as a car approaches, they jump out at the car. I'm like, because that's what happens. Those are the kind of things that we, not just people crossing the street with children.
The hidden bag people?
The people who hang out in the middle of the road, you know.
In bags.
In bags, and then leap out at your car. You know, we used to do that all the time.
I can't wait for driverless cars.
I hate to drive.
You can read.
Yes.
And just get there.
Kick back.
In your own car. And you don't have to, like, no small talk with a driver.
Yeah,
like
and you don't have to park, you know, or do any of that annoying stuff. You can be dropped off
Uber.
Exactly where you want to be.
No Uber. Nobody's reporting my yelling at the driver.
You don't have to give anyone a bad rating.
They don't give me a bad rating for being a bad passenger.